Welcome to day 176 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita, your host from Hidden with Christ Ministries. This week we will be reading from the Amplified Bible, and today's reading takes us to 1 Kings chapter 15 and then through 2 Chronicles chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. We are in a portion of the Bible where we are hearing about the reigns of two different sets of kings. It's a point in history when Israel was divided and Judah, the house of Judah, followed the lineage of King David and the kings that descended from King David, and the majority of the other tribes of Israel followed at first Jeroboam, someone who had rebelled against King Solomon, and a succession of kings after him who led the people of Israel in idolatrous worship, and they were so very far from the Lord. So today you'll hear about several kings, both good ones and bad ones, and how they handled the situations that arose against their respective nations. So beginning at 1 Kings chapter 15, reading from the Amplified Bible and starting at the first verse. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, son of Nebat, Abijam began to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Micaiah, granddaughter of Abishalom, Absalom. He walked in all the sins of his father Rehoboam before him, and his heart was not blameless with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his forefather. Nevertheless, for David's sake, the Lord his God gave him a lamp in Jerusalem, setting up his son after him and establishing Jerusalem. Because David did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, except in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. There was war between Abijam's father Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of Rehoboam's life. The rest of the acts of Abijam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And there was war between Abijam and Jeroboam. Abijam slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David. Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 20th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, Asa began to reign over Judah. 41 years he reigned in Jerusalem. His mother was also named Micaiah, daughter of Absalom. And Asa did right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his forefather. He put away the Sodomites, male cult prostitutes, out of the land, and removed all the idols that his fathers, Solomon, Rehoboam, and Abijam, had made or promoted. Also, Micaiah, his mother, he removed from being queen mother because she had an image made for the goddess Asherah. Asa destroyed her image, burning it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed. Yet Asa's heart was blameless with the Lord all his days. He brought the things which his father had dedicated and the things which he himself had dedicated into the house of the Lord, silver, gold, and vessels. There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. Baasha, king of Israel, went up against Judah and built up Ramah, that he might allow no one to go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa took all the silver and gold left in the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and delivered them into the hands of his servants. And King Asa sent them to Ben-Hadad, son of Tabrimon, the son of Hezion, king of Syria, who dwelt at Damascus, saying, "Let there be a league between me and you, as was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending you a present of silver and gold. Go, break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." So Ben-Hadad hearkened to King Asa and sent the commanders of his armies against the cities of Israel, and smote Ijon, Dan, Abel-Beth-Makkah, and all Chinneroth with all the land of Naphtali. When Baasha heard of it, he quit building up Ramah and dwelt in Tirzah. Then King Asa made a proclamation to all Judah. None was exempted. They carried away the stones of Ramah and its timber with which Baasha had been building. And King Asa built up with them Geba of Benjamin and also Mizpah. The rest of all the acts of Asa, all his might, all that he did, and the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? But in the time of his old age, he was diseased in his feet. Asa slept with his fathers and was buried with them in the city of David his father. Jehoshaphat, his son, reigned in his stead. Nadab, son of Jeroboam, began to reign over Israel in the second year of Asa, king of Judah, and reigned 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of his father and in his sin, with which he made Israel sin. Baasha, son of Ahijah of the house of Issachar, conspired against Nadab, and Baasha smote him at Gibbethon, which belonged to the Philistines, for Nadab and all Israel were laying siege to Gibbethon. In the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha slew Nadab and reigned in his stead. As soon as he was king, Baasha killed all the household of Jeroboam. He left to it not one who breathed until he had destroyed it, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Ahijah the Shilonite. Because of the sins of Jeroboam, which he sinned, and by which he made Israel to sin, and because of his provocation of the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger. The rest of Nadab's acts and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? There was war between Asa and Baasha, king of Israel, all their days. In the 3rd year of Asa, king of Judah, Baasha, son of Ahijah, began his reign of 24 years over all Israel in Tirzah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he walked in the way of Jeroboam and in his sin, with which he made Israel sin. 2 Chronicles chapter 13, verse 1. In the 18th year of King Jeroboam, Abijah began to reign over Judah. He reigned 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Micaiah, daughter of Uriel of Gibeah, and there was war between Abijah and Jeroboam of Israel. And Abijah prepared for battle with an army of valiant men of war, 400,000 chosen men. Jeroboam set the battle in array against him, with 800,000 chosen men, mighty men of valor. And Abijah stood on Mount Zemaraim in the hill country of Ephraim and said, "Hear me, O Jeroboam and all Israel. Ought you not to know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the kingship over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, son of Nebat, a servant of Solomon, son of David, rose up and rebelled against his lord the king. And there gathered to him worthless men, base fellows, who strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young as king, irresolute and inexperienced, and did not withstand them with firmness and strength. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord, which is in the hands of the sons of David, because you are a great multitude, and you have with you the golden calves which Jeroboam made for you for gods? Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron and the Levites, and made priests for yourselves like the peoples of other lands? So whoever comes to consecrate himself with a young bull and seven rams may be a priest of idols that are not God's? But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. We have priests ministering to the Lord who are sons of Aaron and Levites for their service. They offer to the Lord every morning and every evening burnt sacrifices and incense of sweet spices. They set in order the showbread on the table of pure gold and attend to the golden lampstands that its lamps may be lighted every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God, but you have forsaken him. Behold, God himself is with us at our head, and his priests with their battle trumpets to sound an alarm against you. O Israelites, fight not against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you cannot prosper. But Jeroboam caused an ambushment to come around them from behind, so his troops were before Judah and the ambush behind. When Judah looked, behold, the battle was before and behind, and they cried to the Lord, and the priests blew the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as they shouted, God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah and Judah. And the Israelites fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hands. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter, so there fell of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the Israelites were brought low at that time, and the people of Judah prevailed because they relied upon the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued Jeroboam and took some cities from him, Bethel, Jeshanah, and Ephron with their towns. Jeroboam did not recover strength again in the days of Abijah. And the Lord smote him and he died. But Abijah became mighty. He married 14 wives and had 22 sons and 16 daughters. And the rest of the acts of Abijah, his ways, and his sayings are written in the story of the prophet Iddo. Chapter 14. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days the land was at rest for 10 years. And Asa did what was good and right in the sight of the Lord his God. He took away the foreign altars and high places and broke down the idol pillars or obelisks and cut down the Asherim, symbols of the goddess Asherah, and commanded Judah to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, to inquire of and for him and crave him as a vital necessity, and to obey the law and the commandment. Also, Asa took out of all the cities of Judah the idolatrous high places and the incense altars, and the kingdom had rest under his reign. And he built fortified cities in Judah, for the land had rest. He had no war in those years, for the Lord gave him peace. Therefore he said to Judah, "Let us build these cities and surround them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, yearning for him with all our desire, and he has given us rest and peace on every side." So they built and prospered. Asa had an army of 300,000 men out of Judah who bore bucklers and spears, and 280,000 out of Benjamin, who bore shields and drew bows, all mighty men of courage. There came out against Judah Zerah the Ethiopian with a host of 1,000,000, that is, too many to be numbered, and 300 chariots, and came as far as Mareshah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set up their lines of battle in the valley of Zephathah at Mareshah. Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none besides you to help, and it makes no difference to you whether the one you help is mighty or powerless. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and we go against this multitude in your name. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against you. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. Asa and the people with him pursued them to Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, so that none remained alive, for they were destroyed before the Lord and his host, who carried away very much booty. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them. They plundered all the cities, for there was much plunder in them. They smote also the cattle encampments and carried away sheep in abundance and camels, and they returned to Jerusalem. Chapter 15. The Spirit of God came upon Azariah, son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, inquiring for and of him, craving him as your soul's first necessity, he will be found by you. But if you become indifferent and forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long time Israel was without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they, in their trouble, turned to the Lord, the God of Israel, and in desperation earnestly sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to him who went out, nor to him who came in, but great and vexing afflictions and disturbances were upon all the inhabitants of the countries. Nation was broken pieces against nation, and city against city, for God vexed and troubled them with all sorts of adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak and slack, for your work shall be rewarded. And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and he put away the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of burnt offering of the Lord, which was in the front of the porch or vestibule of the house of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon, for they came over to Asa out of Israel in large numbers when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they sacrificed to the Lord on that day from the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and to yearn for him with all their heart's desire and with all their soul. And that whoever would not seek the Lord, the God of Israel, should be put to death, whether young or old, man or woman. They took an oath to the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him, yearning for him with their whole desire, and he was found by them. And the Lord gave them rest and peace round about. Also Maacah, King Asa's mother, he removed from being queen mother, because she had made an abominable image for the goddess Asherah. Asa cut down her idol, crushed it, and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was blameless all his days. And he brought into the house of God the things that his father Abijah had dedicated and those he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. Chapter 16. In the 36th year of Asa's reign, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built fortified Ramah, intending to intercept anyone going out or coming in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, who dwelt at Damascus, saying, "Let there be a league between me and you, as was between my father and your father. Behold, I am sending you silver and gold. Go, break your league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may withdraw from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened to King Asa and sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel. And they smote Ijon, Dan, Abel-Maim, and all the store cities of Naphtali. And when Baasha heard it, he stopped building Ramah and let his work cease. Then King Asa took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and its timbers, with which Baasha had been building, and with them he built Geba and Mizpah. At that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, "Because you relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. Were not the Ethiopians and Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied then on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. You have done foolishly in this. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars." Then Asa was angry with the seer and put him in prison in the stocks, for he was enraged with him because of this. Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. The acts of Asa, from first to last, are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. In the 39th year of his reign, Asa was diseased in his feet until his disease became very severe. Yet, in his disease, he did not seek the Lord, but relied on the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, dying in the 41st year of his reign. And they buried him in his own tomb, which he had hewn out for himself in the city of David. And they laid him on a bier, which was filled with sweet odors and various kinds of spices, prepared by the perfumer's art. And they made a very great burning of spices in his honor. This is the end of today's scripture reading. Before we move on to today's devotional, I wanted to let you know about some other free resources available to you from Hidden with Christ Ministries. We have a weekly teaching called Word for Wednesday, available on video through YouTube, or as an audio podcast available on all the major podcasting platforms. Just type in Word for Wednesday, Rita Langland, on YouTube or on your favorite podcast channel, or you can visit our website at hiddenwithchrist.org to find a library of hundreds of Bible teachings by yours truly, Rita Langland. And now let's continue with today's devotional. Today we heard the amazing story of King Asa. He was the king of Judah, and the scripture tells us that he had a heart for the Lord. And he led his people in seeking the one true God. And he had a situation arise where he had a vast army from Ethiopia come against him, ready to fight him. His army consisted of 580,000 soldiers. And the army that came against him out of Ethiopia had a host of 1 million, which is, in the Amplified Translation, says that is too many to be numbered. It was so great. So he was outnumbered nearly 2 to 1. He had only half of the soldiers that this enemy army had, and they were threatening to absolutely destroy Judah. They drew up their battle lines in the valley of Zephathah and were waiting to have the great confrontation with a group that they were sure was unable to withstand their numbers. But I love what Asa did, and this is a word of encouragement to all of us who are facing situations that appear absolutely impossible, overwhelming, or just too great to overcome. In 2 Chronicles 14:11, we hear what Asa cried out to the Lord. It says in verse 11, Asa cried to the Lord his God, O Lord, there is none besides you to help, and it makes no difference to you whether the one you help is mighty or powerless. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and we go against this multitude in your name. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against you. And I love the results of that prayer. It says in the next verse, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. And then, as it turned out, they destroyed the Ethiopian army with the help of God, and they ended up carrying away much booty as a result of that victory. But this prayer that Asa prayed is very significant for us. He knew that he had absolutely no way in the natural, with the resources that he had, any possibility of victory in the situation he was facing. Are you in such a situation today where the resources you have at hand are insufficient for the size of the problem you are facing? Maybe you don't have the wisdom you need for the problem. Maybe you don't have the finances you need to take care of the problem. Maybe things are so complicated and so overwhelming, you cannot see your way out of it. And yet, Asa faced a similar situation. In his case, it was an enemy army, over 1 million soldiers, outnumbering him 2-1. And yet he knew that God was able to help him. His words, whether the one you help is mighty or powerless, it makes no difference to you. That's what it says in the Amplified Translation. And then I like also the New Living Translation, where it says, O Lord, no one but you can help the powerless against the mighty. That is a word for your life. No one but God can help the powerless against the mighty. Only God can help you out of your impossible situation and bring a victory out of what looks like certain disaster. Asa went on to say, help us, O Lord our God, for we rely on you, and we go against this multitude in your name. O Lord, you are our God. Let no man prevail against you. This is a great model prayer for us because we all face situations that look impossible at times. And yet God wants us to be a people that rely upon him, that go against every problem in the name of the Lord. That is the call of God on the people of God, that we be people who rely on the Lord. And we know from all of the history of Israel that we have been reading over these past days and weeks that every single time Israel stopped relying on God and did things in their own strength, it always resulted in disaster. But when they relied on God in impossible situations, he turned the situation around from disaster to victory. And that was the case with this amazing story of Asa and the armies of Judah going up against this multitudinous horde of Ethiopian soldiers. And with the help of God alone, they were the victors over the army that was twice their size. And this was a powerful victory. And it led to the Lord sending a prophet by the name of Azariah. After this great victory, he went out to meet Asa. And he told him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him." And that was a key phrase. The Lord is with you while you are with him. And so it is with us. While we stay with the Lord, seeking the Lord, inquiring of the Lord, and as the Amplified Bible puts it, craving him as our soul's first necessity, then God will be with us. But when we become indifferent and forsake God, then the scripture says he will forsake you. And that is what the word of warning came to King Asa. He had just experienced a marvelous victory. It wasn't a victory that he won. It was a victory that God won for him and for the nation. And so this prophet came and told him, as long as you stay close to the Lord, you'll continue to have the Lord's help. And then he went on to say to the king of Judah, "Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak and slack, for your work shall be rewarded." So the prophet was telling him that God promised that he would continue to help him, continue to be with him as long as he was remaining close to the Lord, seeking the Lord at all times. And as he did that, the Lord would reward their work. And this word of encouragement and warning actually cheered King Asa. And the scripture tells us that he took courage and he put away the idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin. He repaired the altar of burnt offering for the Lord in the temple. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and all the other tribes that actually had come over to Asa because they had seen that the Lord was with him. So they had this amazing gathering in the 15th year of King Asa's reign. And on that day, they sacrificed to the Lord from the spoil that they had taken from the Ethiopians, 7,000 sheep and 700 oxen. And in that day, they entered a covenant, meaning that they made a promise to the Lord and to one another that they would seek the Lord, the God of their fathers, and yearn for him with all their heart's desire. So this was a great turning point. The nation was reunited in the sense that they united to seek God. It wasn't all of the tribes of Israel, but it was a significant number who had joined together to really dedicate themselves to the Lord. And the king went further than that. He even removed his own mother from being queen mother because she had been someone that followed the goddess Asherah. So this was very clear that he was serious about seeking the Lord. And so there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. And that was when temptation really struck King Asa. Though he had made all these commitments to the Lord when he had had a long season of peace, and it was a very long season, then war threatened again. But this time the source was from their brethren, the Israelites, all the other tribes that were following Baasha, king of Israel. And they came up against Judah and they started building basically the siege work that was going to try to stop anybody from going out or coming in from Asa, king of Judah, trying to starve them out essentially. So this is when Asa made a very grave error. Imagine he had a great victory because God helped him. They relied on the Lord when these Ethiopians, millions of Ethiopians came against them, and they saw great deliverance. And then God gave them such a long season of peace until this 36th year of Asa's reign, and suddenly war is threatening. This time, instead of just crying out to the Lord to deliver them from their brethren, the Israelites, who are trying to crush Judah, Asa use natural means to try to deliver himself. He took silver and gold out of the treasuries of the house of the Lord, and he sent basically bribe money to the king of Syria and asking him to break off his league that he had with Baasha, king of Israel, so that Baasha, king of Israel, would withdraw from him once he heard that the Syrians were no longer his partners. And that worked as initially. The Syrian king agreed. He went and attacked Israel instead of maintaining peace with them, a truce that they had. He started attacking Israel, which made the king of Israel withdraw from attacking the king of Judah. So for a brief season, he had a little bit of respite. But because he didn't rely on God and he took matters into his own hands and he tried to deliver himself with a natural idea, I'll bribe this king to help me, instead of relying on the Lord, it brought trouble to the king Asa, even though he had had a good track record of trusting the Lord. After a season of no battles and peaceful season, prosperity, he did not move with spiritual warfare. In this case, he moved in natural warfare and tried to bring his own deliverance. You know, this is a word for us. Sometimes after we've had great spiritual battles and God's brought great victory and we've had a season of prosperity and peace and blessings, and then suddenly we're confronted with some great problem, trial, or temptation, instead of immediately relying upon the Lord, running to the Lord for help and wisdom and direction on how to deal with the problem, we immediately go into a how do I deliver myself mode. And that is where we get into trouble. And that is exactly what King Asa did. A prophet came to him after he delivered himself with the bribe money to the king of Syria. And this man's name was Hanani, the seer. And he came and said to him, because you relied on the king of Syria and not on the Lord your God, the army of the king of Syria has escaped you. The implications there were that God would have delivered him from the king of Syria and defeated the king of Syria for him in the future if he had not relied on him. And then he goes on to say, were not the Ethiopians and Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied then on the Lord, he gave them into your hand. Now listen to this next verse, verse 9 of 2 Chronicles, chapter 16. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him. And then he goes on to say, you have done foolishly in this, therefore from now on you shall have wars. What a sad, sad word from this prophet for King Asa. It was a rebuke. It was a rebuke that he had one time trusted God and got a magnificent deliverance. But this time, when trouble arose, instead of relying on the Lord, he tried to deliver himself, paying off this king of Syria to help him get rid of this trouble from the king of Israel. And the result was, God said, from now on, you shall have wars, because God was the one that had given him peace. And God was the one that had protected them from those enemy armies. And now, since he thought he could deliver himself, the Lord let him deliver himself. Go ahead, you'll have wars, and it'll be on you to try to deliver yourself, which of course no one can do. Interesting response from King Asa. He was angry with the seer. He got mad at the prophet. He shot the deliverer of the message. Why? Because he was enraged, because he was rebuked by him. Instead of receiving the rebuke like a wise man would, when the Lord tells you something, hey, you've done well up to this point, you've done well in past things, but this one thing you've done wasn't right. When someone comes to you who loves you, who speaks from the Lord, and tells you, hey, you've really done well in these certain areas, but there's this area that isn't right, receive it so that you can get God's help. Asa did not receive it. Asa became angry with the prophet and put him in prison. And that was bad. The Lord doesn't like you or any person to touch the anointed of God or in any way harm the prophet of God. And this man was a prophet. He was trying to help Asa. He showed him his error. And if Asa had repented on the spot, God would have had mercy and helped him as he had done in the past. But he didn't repent. He became angry at the deliverer of the message, the prophet who told him, hey, this area in your heart wasn't right. This decision, the way you handled this wasn't right. He could have repented, but he did not. And instead, he treated the prophet quite badly. And the result wasn't good for him. He had a bad end, which was sad because Asa had been a very good king because he had relied on the Lord. But I believe that the message that we need to take from Asa's life is that God will always respond to the person who relies on him. God will always respond to the one who cries out to the Lord. And God is able to deliver any person who does cry out to him, like he did in the case of King Asa and Judah. The word tells us his eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth, willing, desiring, longing to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are blameless toward him, meaning those hearts of the person who relies on God, trusts in God, looks towards the Lord for his help, and doesn't try to deliver himself. We live in a generation where people are very proud of themselves for their own accomplishments. And this is simply pride, which of course is the state of natural man. But God doesn't want us to be proud of ourselves or proud of what we can accomplish. The Lord wants us to be a people that rely on him. And when we rely on God, we receive his deliverance. When we try to deliver ourselves with our own natural means, we bring trouble into our own lives. So let's take this lesson from Asa's life and be a people whose hearts are blameless towards the Lord, always seeking the Lord. And then you will have the Lord show himself strong on your behalf. God bless you and give you a victorious week. If you have enjoyed My Everyday Bible, please share it with others. It's our heart to get the Word of God out around the world. If you'd like to help us continue this work, you can make a donation through this app or on our website at myeverydaybible.com. You can also mail a check to Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. Once again, that's P.O. Box 745, Forest, Virginia, 24551. And don't forget to check out our free library of Bible teachings at hiddenwithchrist.org. We believe you will be blessed because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Have a victorious week.